podcast. Wait, this is actually time recording.
Literally.
Yep.
Spotify, please let us put this one out.
It's acceptable, I promise.
It's acceptable. It's part of the story, everything. Okay, so Brianna dyed her hair. We're gonna do a really quick summary really quick. Brianna dyed her hair.
I did.
Peach and something. Peach other and color. Blue. This is our first theme month.
It's Robert gone wrong.
Leprechaun. Yeah, just like leprechaun.
We're recording this in February, but it's coming out in March.
Exactly. And
it's one of the worst crimes.
Released on at 4
p.m. on March 4th.
On March 4th.
This is one of the worst crimes that ever took place in Utah. Okay.
Yeah, FBI or some police thing teach likes to like teach it. So, all right, let's continue because we're trying to like, get back to where we were.
They're going to have to re-listen to that 6 times to figure out what the heck just happened. All of those usually that our intros have been 4 minutes and that happened in 50 seconds.
Exactly. All right, let's continue. Maybe we just need it.
Okay. I'm going to do a quick warning also. Trigger warning, but
murder, robbery, gore descriptions.
There and we sexual go. Assault.
Well, isn't that rape?
Same thing.
That's also, why I said that. That was the first warning.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I said rape, murder, robbery. Oh, I didn't even robbery. Hear you. Oh.
I was actually going to warn them I haven't drank my coffee yet, so I'm a bit off. But I mean, there's also those.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
okay let's all get right, started.
Let's go.
So today we're going to be talking about the... I can slow down now. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the Hi-Fi murders. Oh my god, Siri, shut up. Okay, sorry. We're going to be talking about the Hi-Fi murders that took place in Ogden, Utah. Do you remember what year it is?
1974.
Good job! You heard it 5 times. You should know. Woo! So yeah, this took place in 1974. Do you remember the date?
No.
Okay, so it's April 22nd, 1974, at a music store, the Hi-Fi Shop.
Hi-Fi music store.
Yeah. Sorry, she, like, knows everything now. It's not fun anymore.
I actually don't. I just know some things because I've heard them.
Five times.
But the rest of it, I don't really remember that well because, like, I mean, I pay attention. I pay lots of attention, but, like... You know, after like work, it just kind of goes over your head once there's more and more and more.
My
more.
Brain doesn't work right, so I understand that perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two people working are 18-year-old Michelle Ansley and 20-year-old Stanley Walker. So
well, I thought Stanley was like old.
No, he's 20.
Oh, okay.
His father's older.
Okay.
Only 43 though, so not very old. But we'll get
only
to that later.
43.
My mom's older.
He's not that old.
No, my mom would slap me for saying that. I'm just kidding. She wouldn't actually slap me. That's probably not good to say. My mom's a very loving person. Okay. So Michelle had only been hired about a week before. And actually the day directly before this incident, she had told her mom she had gotten engaged, which is actually just I feel like it makes it even
that's
more
a
sad.
Little young, but like good for her.
I mean, she's 18. She's getting engaged. I mean, I know lots of people that
did
have
she
engaged
die?
At 18. You should
did
know this
die?
By now.
I think she dies.
Yes, yeah, she does die.
That's sad. So, like, her fiancé, did her mom know her fiancé? Like,
I don't know. I'd assume. I'd be like, I mean, I would assume she introduced him before getting engaged. Like, mom, I'm getting married to this random guy you don't know.
Exactly.
Anyway. So it's so sad, though. I mean, she had her entire life planned out in front of her. But anyway. So it's close to closing time. Closing. I didn't drink my coffee. I'm sorry.
Closing time. Shoot. I'm going to get copyrighted.
When a number of African-American men arrive at the store in vans. Police believe there was about 6 men in total that played some role in this crime. However, only 3 of them. Really 2. But 3 of them were actually mainly involved.
So, that's kind of sad. Wrong crowd. Let's get out of that.
Well, yeah, I'd hope you'd get out of a crowd like that.
Yeah, murderers, not fun.
Yeah. So, 21-year-old Dale Selby-Pierre, he changed his name a lot. So I'm going to be referring to him as
Pierre. Like, he changed... Okay, you said this before. I didn't really ask too many questions, but what do you mean he changed his name a lot?
So, once he went to prison, he changed his name.
Oh, changed his name.
Yeah, he used those three names, but mixed up the order multiple times to protect his family.
Okay.
But, so yeah. I'm going to call him Pierre. It's very confusing when you get research. You get Dale Selby Pierre. Selby Dale Pierre. Pierre Selby Dale. It's like, what the heck? Who the heck am I thinking about? Anyway, 19-year-old William Andrews and 19-year-old Keith Roberts, who he didn't really do too much. He was actually more just the getaway driver, but still associated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so all three of them, like I said, were associated. I didn't say this. What the heck? All three of them were associated with the Air Force. Pierre had been suspected of a murder in the past, actually, which actually was with another airman, and he didn't actually get charged on it because there wasn't enough evidence, but everyone pretty much knew it was him. Anyway, so Pierre and William go into the store with guns and confronted Michelle and Stanley.
This is why guns kind of scare me, because, like, you're dead. You're just dead. There's nothing else. If somebody walks in with a gun and points it at you, you're gone.
You drop dead before they shot you.
Exactly. I'd die from fear.
What the heck are you doing, woman? Get up.
I'd be dead. I'd have a heart attack.
I'd be like, look at this woman. Like, they'd no still chance. Shoot you. Just be like, this woman's
they'd still shoot me even you. Though I'm dead.
Okay, let's get back on topic. Okay. This is why it takes us an hour to record.
Yeah.
Okay, so they took Michelle and Stanley to the basement of the store and tied them up, and this allowed them to rob the store, which they could have just stopped there, but they did not. If you want to rob the store, I'm not saying do it, but, like, if you're going to, just stop there, you know?
And this was, like, during closing. This was during closing, so...
You're doing it,
now
too.
Now I'm closing. Saying closing.
it's fine. Anyway, sometime later, 16-year-old Courtney Nesbitt entered the store. He was a friend of Stanley Walker's and wanted to stop by and thank Stanley for something he had helped him with. Which, I mean, most of these people are very young. I mean, we have an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 16-year-old. I mean, even the people that did these crimes, we have, like, 21 and two 19-year-olds committing these crimes. It's crazy to me. But anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's just crazy to me. I mean, who have these thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think it's actually part of the reason it fascinates me so much. I mean, not murder, but, like, you know what I mean? Just, like, thinking of why these people want to do such things, you know? Mm-hmm. Right, I'll get back to those stories. I get off topic. Anyway, so they also brought Courtney to the basement and tied him up as well. Stanley's 43-year-old father, Orrin Walker, went to the store since, you know, he was worried about Stanley not coming home from work yet. He was also taken to the basement and tied up as well. Mm-hmm. And then Courtney's 53-year-old mother, Carol, had come to the store. She was also tied up and put in the basement and placed next to her son. And now they have 5 people tied up in the basement.
Yeah. Which, that's not good.
No, it's not good. I feel like that's your usual comment.
Yeah, it's like
it's okay. But, I mean, you're not wrong. No, it's not good.
It's not good. It's not. It's kind of sad.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little depressing. It's like
okay.
Okay, dead people.
I don't know why that made me laugh. I sound like a terrible person. Dang, we're already to the crime part and we're only 9 minutes in. Usually we'd be like 20 minutes
this
in.
Because
we're doing good.
We like sped run it.
Yeah, we had 50
seconds.
I think
we need to speed run it a little more often.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so they made the 5 hostages drink Drano. Like... ew. My mom was talking about Drano the other day because our sinks are clogged. Or something's clogged. I don't know. But anyway, I was like, oh my god, I don't want Drano in my house after hearing this. But anyway. So
murder.
They had told them, at least I'm pretty sure this is what they told them. I saw it somewhere. Whether or not it's true, I don't know. I won't know. But anyway, they had told them it was vodka laced with sleeping pills.
Does Drano taste like vodka? Vodka?
I don't know. I'm not going to test it out. I don't know what either of them taste like, so I can't tell you. I don't know what sleeping pills taste like either. I'm sorry.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yes. You're a robot now. You're a robot now.
I'm a robot now. Sorry.
Okay. So, once they drank the Drano, it immediately caused blisters to form. And it also made the skin peel away around their mouth and inside their mouth as well. Just so painful. So, William and Pierre tried to put duct tape over their mouths so they couldn't spit out the Drano. But the blisters wouldn't allow the tape to stick.
Oh.
So Orrin Walker, Stanley's dad, was the last one given the Drano. He had made it seem like he had drinking it, but he didn't. He let it, like, come out of his mouth.
Smart man.
He still had it in his mouth.
In his mouth, yeah. Like, he's still, like, kind of dead.
Yeah, it's still, dead. It definitely, I don't know why that made me laugh. Oh my god, I'm a terrible person. Okay, so it did cause damage just being in his mouth for that short amount of time, but he did let it. He did, like, spit it out without their knowledge. He acted like the others were screaming in pain, you know? But it didn't kill the five like they had thought it would. So, Williams was more the brain behind it. Williams? His name's William, you idiot. Williams more the brain
behind it. Did you just call yourself an idiot?
Yeah, I do it more. I do it a lot.
Did you write this script?
Yeah. I had an S. Sorry. Pierre was more of, like, the leader or the enforcer of the crime. Pierre was angry that the Drano did not kill them, so he began shooting them in the back of the head. First, he shot Courtney. Then he shot his mother, Carol. Then he shot Stanley Walker and his father, Orrin. So just, like, we're shooting everyone here. So Pierre took Michelle into a corner and forced her to remove her clothes, and then he repeatedly raped her. Afterwards, he brought her back to the others and threw her on the ground and shot her in the back of the head.
I feel that that is a little violent, sir.
Well, yeah, it is a little violent.
That's part of the thing, but, like...
Yeah, it's a little violent. She was also the first to die, I believe. I think. For them, yeah. I think,
like, did she die instantly? Probably.
She was shot directly in the back of the head. Yeah. She died instantly.
Well, you don't, like, have to die if you
shot. Only the others were shot in the back of the head, but she did die instantly.
Yeah.
So they noticed Orrin Walker was still alive. So Pierre attempted to strangle him with a wire, but was unsuccessful.
This man just has, like, hella luck.
Sorry, he's like a cat. He got 9 lives.
Exactly. I think cats literally live, like, 1 year is equivalent to 9 years. So I think that's where the saying comes from. But I might be wrong. I don't know why I only learned that yesterday.
Anyway, I did. So I've never heard of someone doing this before. But they took a pen and put it on Orrin's ear. And then Pierre repeatedly stomped on the pen until it punctured his eardrum. The pen actually broke and came out the other side of his throat. After they finished up loading the van with the stolen items, they left.
And did stupid things with it.
Yeah, you remember something!
I remember something!
You remember the year and the idiotness? That's not a problem.
I remember the year and where they went wrong.
Yes. Well, they went wrong killing people, first
of all. Well, yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, they could have just, like, scared them and robbed them and then left, like, put some ski masks on, you know?
Actually, I don't think Michelle was the first one to die. I think Stanley was.
Oh.
I don't know.
Maybe.
They both died.
I don't know.
One of them died first.
Yeah, they're dead. That's kind of what matters.
Yeah. Stanley was shot. That's what the... That's what matters. I know, that just sounded so dark for some reason.
Somebody's dead. That's the only thing that apparently we care about.
I know Stanley was shot first.
Kidding.
God.
Well, he was shot first and shot in the back of the head, and he probably was the first to die.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know, though.
But if he's not, we're very sorry to the family. Obviously, we're always sorry to the families. Like, mm-hmm. we love you. We don't know you, but, like, we send our love.
Yes, we send our condolences.
yes.
So, the victims in the basement. Sorry. We sound so sincere in that one part. That's the only part we've ever sounded like we care. We do care. We're not heartless, I promise.
Yeah, we're not heartless. We're not killers.
No, sorry. No, we're not, Jocelyn.
We're not. We haven't... I will never kill anybody. I think Brianna will either.
No, I will not. I'm a good person. Let's get back to the story, shall we?
Okay.
Before you get us arrested.
Why would we get arrested?
It just sounds like it. Anyway.
Brianna, what did you do?
I like how we start recording at 9 and it's 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so the victims in the basement were not found for several hours. Oren's wife, Stanley's mom, got worried and went to the store to find her son and husband. She called the police. Michelle and Stanley were already dead. Oren Walker was still alive, but in terrible condition, but he did survive. I mean, obviously he survived.
Wait, but her kid and her husband survive?
No.
Oh.
I just said so Stanley just her was husband? Dead. Yeah, just... Stanley died. Her son's dead.
That's sad. I don't have kids. Yeah. But I cannot imagine losing a child.
Yeah.
Especially, like, an adult child. Yeah. Because, like, you raised them and they were fine, and then they left your house and they died.
Yeah. It really does shock me, though, that Oren did survive. I mean, he had a pen go through his ear. Yeah. He was shot.
He just has good luck.
He was strangled with a wire.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, he had bad luck, like, he probably shouldn't have come, but, like, he has good luck in that he didn't die.
Yeah. So, Carol, Courtney's mother, Carol Nesbitt, mm-hmm. was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that is the third person that died. Only three of them did die, though. Two of them did survive.
Yes.
So, Courtney, her son, survived, but he suffered amnesia. I mean, he was shot in the back of the head. That makes sense. He spent a total of 266 days in the hospital.
Oh my god, I thought you said 160-something days.
Oh no, 266 days.
Jeez, that's like...
100
days? A little under 100 days? No. One under 100 days. Or... What? Oh my god. 99 days from a year. That's what I was trying to say. Sorry.
So, he was unable to testify, obviously, at the trial because of he didn't amnesia. Also, would he still be in the hospital from April to October? I can't do math. I think that sounds right. Right?
There's like 30 minutes. Probably. He probably wasn't in the hospital for like. 3.5 months? Like, 3.5 months out of the year, he probably wasn't in the hospital.
Jesus. Anyway, so, an airman, like I said...
So he's in the hospital for 9 months.
Holy crap, he could have a whole baby in that time.
That's what I was about to say.
Okay, so... Okay, we're idiots. Okay. So, the people that committed this crime, like I said, they were airmen. So, another airman mm-hmm. had called police and said that William Andrews had talked about wanting to rob the Hi-Fi store a few months prior to this incident. He also said that William That's said they would kill anyone in the way. Like, anyone that got that's in the way, they said they would kill. Yeah, that's very incriminating. So, police then got another call from a teenager who said they were looking for, bottles at a dumpster near the Air Force Base.
Okay. Good job, Brianna. Good job getting your words together.
I did good.
You did good.
So, inside the dumpster, they found wallets and purses with driver's license belonging to the victims.
Okay, why didn't they burn it? Why didn't they,
if they were going to keep them...
I mean, I guess you wouldn't think somebody's going to go dumpster diving.
Why would you put it, though, near the Air Force base?
Exactly.
Like, why would you put it near where the place you live?
You could take it to a dump site, and literally it would probably be buried in a day or so, and you would probably be fine, because who's going to go dumpster diving at a dump? Maybe people. You know what? That's probably
some people
a good place
would
go dumpster diving. But, like, you could literally be able to track it back to you that easily. I mean, unless they have cameras. I'm sure they have cameras.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay. So, the police go to the dumpster, and once they arrive, there's already a crowd of people, most of which being airmen. This included Pierre and William.
Yeah. They, like, people who commit crimes like to, like, just stand there, like, be part of the chaos.
Yeah, they want the satisfaction. They want to be able to blend in. They want to be able to know where everything's going. They know if they'll
and
be
they
caught.
Also think that it'll make them look less guilty.
Yeah, I mean, like, Richard Ramirez, he was following the entire news coverage on him.
Exactly.
You know, to know how to plan his next murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what criminals do. They follow everything on them, you know?
Yeah.
So, the police officer noticed when he was taking the items out of the dumpster that the two were acting very strange. This is, like, what I said at the beginning. This is part of the reason why they actually talk about this case. The way that this guy handled this. He put on, like, a show pulling out the items. Like, he already kind of suspected that Pierre and William were, you know, the ones that did this. But he put on, like, a show pulling out the items. He made it very dramatic, almost, you know, trying to make it so he could really pinpoint it on them, seeing they were acting different, you know?
Yeah.
He handled it very well. But anyway, so the police detained him. They got a search warrant to go through their stuff, and they find a flyer for the hi-fi shop. Not too incriminating, but it's definitely not great on their part.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it could
a
just...
a little bit. That's a little incriminating if you think about it.
I mean,
like,
it definitely could just be, you know, something you have. But, I mean, I don't know why you'd have a music store decoration on your wall. I mean, I have band posters on my wall.
I guess it's like you really liked the High Five shop.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe.
Personally... I just got some weird pictures. I got a clown. I got some band posters. You know, that's more normal.
Not at all.
That's not normal at all. Anyway, that's what I was doing. You got any hi-fi shop flyers on your wall?
I don't have... I have a Ruth Bader Ginsburg flyer. Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg poster. And it says, Notorious RBG. And then at the bottom,
it says
Judge Life, like Thug Life. Yeah.
The first time I saw it, it terrified me.
I was in a meeting, and it was behind me, and I saw it in my window, and I was like, oh my god, there's someone, and I was like, oh, no.
Ew, that laugh.
It's my Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It's your friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so they also found I was.
Oh.
You replaced me? Okay, so.
A little.
They also found a rental slip for a storage unit for the day of the murders. So, the police then got a search warrant for the storage unit inside.
Wait.
What?
Why would you... I don't know. Never mind. This seems like they were asking to be caught.
Yeah. So, inside, they find stolen stereo equipment. They use the serial numbers to trace it back to the
hi-fi
shop.
They are begging to be caught.
It was all worth about $24,000. So I can see why they didn't want to get rid of it.
Begging. Why wouldn't you hide it in different places?
Why wouldn't
you
sell it?
So one, they couldn't track you back. Exactly. Why wouldn't you sell it? What? There were so many questions. Why wouldn't you?
Like, put it in at least different places.
If you could have been one place, everything in a different place, you could say, oh yeah, I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it. But no, this is all the stuff that is stolen from the store. With you.
So, the police also find, this is the dumbest thing ever to me, these people are so stupid. So, the police also find the bottle of Drano.
Okay, are they being framed? Because, like...
Oh, no, they did this themselves. They're dumb.
Okay, because, they just are not good at hiding evidence. Why didn't you burn the Drano?
So
Why didn't you pour it out?
Yeah.
Why did you keep it?
Why? Why didn't they just leave it there or something? Like, found. The flyer for the store.
Well, if you leave it there, there could be fingerprints on it.
Oh, true. Throw it in a river. It would be clean.
They thought they were being smart.
The police found a flyer for the store. They found the stolen stereo equipment. They found the purses, the wallets, the IDs. They found the bottle of Drano. I mean, these people are idiots.
Okay, either that or they're just being very well framed. Like, something's happening.
They're not framed. Maybe at all. They just didn't.
Maybe they just didn't think they'd get caught. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they just thought it was hurt.
You attempted to murder five people.
Here's the thing, though.
Killed three. So
well, they didn't know there was going to be five people there. They thought it was only going to be the two of them. But, you know, people just kept showing up. Yeah. I hate using this term, like, at the wrong place at the wrong time. I feel like that's heartless. But, I mean, they really did just happen to show up.
They were.
At a bad time, you know?
I don't think it's a heart. I think it's a true statement. It was the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, like, Richard Speck, we did the case on him. I mean, he used that term for the women that showed up there during the crime.
Yeah,
I mean,
or it was...
That's heartless. You know,
yeah.
They lived there. That's heartless. But, I mean, these people really did just happen to show up at a bad time.
It was just a bad time, and maybe it wasn't the wrong place. It was just a bad time.
I know.
And it wasn't their
fault.
It was just, it was bad.
Yeah. Really, I mean, the only person that did actually happen to go there that also died was Carol. Michelle and Stanley were already the ones there. I'm not saying they should have died. No, that should not have happened.
But, like,
no. But they, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they arrest William and Pierre, and they were charged with first-degree murder and robbery. They try the pair together, which I'll get into this later, but I don't think it's a good idea for any case, personally.
Yeah, any case. I mean, maybe there's one or two where, like, if you got injured by someone and the same person got injured, sure, maybe you could, like, but that's not being tried. You're not being tried, so no. I don't really think that's, like, that's not really fair because you could, a fair trial. That is what is promised to you.
I'm going to say this. Like, there definitely is some crimes that make sense. Like, I'm pulling in so many other information for their cases. But the Ken and Barbie killers, Paul and Carla, they should have been tried together. Because, I mean, she got far less of a sentencing than him. And she's just as bad.
But it's not fair to them either. It's not fair to these people either, if you think about it. Because... They were the case that maybe shouldn't have been because one of the guys, did he do much? I don't know. And the other guy killed everyone.
Yeah,
he should have gotten more time.
This case, really, they shouldn't have been tried together. Because, I mean, one of them had far less. I mean, he definitely should have been in prison for the rest of his life, in my opinion. I'll get into this later,
but like a far less sentence, maybe. Like less things put on him.
Like, I'll get into this later, yeah, definitely, for sure. So, the trial began in October of 1974, which, remember, this crime took place in April. It's now October. They're moving pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It takes over a year.
Not really fair to them. That is not, that is so unfair because they don't get that time to get their crap together and, like, what they're doing. And yes,
they don't deserve it.
And they do, though, because they are still humans.
That's true. But, I mean,
and we do
it was also
have
the
that
70s.
Set up in the same. There could be a case kind of similar to this, murders, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And these other people probably got way more time to figure their stuff out.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to remember, this is in the 70s.
Guys, yeah.
And also, I mean, this is a really bad crime. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so the prosecution laid out the evidence, and they also said that the two had watched a movie multiple times in which a victim was forced to drink Drano and died instantly, which
that's...
is where they got the Drano idea.
Yeah. Don't believe what you see on Hollywood. I would just like to say it is all, well, not all, but most of it is fake. Like 99%?
Pretty much all of it. So,
pretty much all.
Yeah. So they called a number of witnesses, including airmen, which they testified that Andrew said they would rob the store and kill anyone who interfered. They also called a witness who owned another stereo shop. The man identified the men as two of six men who came into a store and acted suspicious. So much so that he actually asked them to leave the store. So I think this is actually where we cut off last time. They mentioned the guns that were used, one being a 25 semi-automatic and the other being a 38 caliber revolver. The guns were actually never found. So the other,
see, that's another person, a little suspicious.
Yeah. So Orrin Walker actually testified as well. Courtney couldn't, but Orrin did. He identified both of the men.
Okay.
He said that Pierre was the one that had shot everyone. He explained the events had taken place. Courtney, like I said, was not able to testify since his injuries and amnesia. The trial lasted about a month. The jury took about 10 hours to deliberate. William Andrews and Dale Selby Pierre were both convicted of murder. They were given the death penalty. Which I think Pierre definitely should have. But I'm not so sure about him, William.
He could have spent the rest of his life in prison. He didn't have... Did he hurt people?
He helped with the stuff, I think. He's definitely part of it. I think he should spend his entire life.
But he should... Yeah, he should not have been killed for it. I personally don't really believe in the death penalty.
I believe in it in certain cases. Like, Pierre, he should have died. He deserved
it. Yeah, but...
Even though he should have rotted in prison for years.
You're kind of getting off easy. You just get to die. You don't
rotted in prison for years and then died. But
you do. When you're... you get the death penalty. You could be on there for literally the rest of your life or 20 years, usually.
Which is not the case in this situation. But William Andrews, I think he should have just spent the rest of his life in prison. Don't get me wrong. He should have definitely paid for what he did, which he did. But I think it should have been different, which is why I don't think they should have tried them the same, you know? Together. But anyway, so... it only took the jury 1 hour and 29 minutes to determine that they should both get the death penalty. Which is not a lot of time, but anyway.
No.
They could have either chose to be hung or executed by a firing squad. No one in Utah had actually been... What?
So they didn't even get a... maybe the lethal injection wasn't as big of a thing. Or even a thing then. I don't know.
Oh, no. I think that actually is what killed them both. I don't know why. I don't know why, how I got this information, actually. Where did that even come from? Anyway. I heard it somewhere, now it doesn't make sense, because they didn't die by either of those. Anyway, no one in Utah had actually been executed since 1960. Anyway. So, the crime took place in April. William and Pierre were arrested pretty quickly after. This is just a quick timeline of the event. The trial took place in October, and by November, they were given the death sentence. So, it all happened so quickly, which is not true at all for now. I mean, heck, the trial probably wouldn't happen until, like, a year later, in now time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where I was. Oh, I'm literally at the top of the freaking screen. Okay, so, Michelle Ansley's mom, she said that she would have lost faith in the judicial system. Why is it such a hard word to say?
Judicial. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a couple tries. Anyway. So she said she would have lost faith in them if they had given the pair anything less than a death sentence. I mean, I can understand where she's coming from with that. But anyway, so when Orrin Walker testified, he explained how Michelle had pleaded for her life. And so, William and Pierre truly had no reason to kill and torture the five victims. If they wanted to rob the store, they could have just simply done that. Instead, they mixed in all the other terrible things that they did. Anyway, so now we're getting back to Keith Roberts, which I said he was just more of the getaway driver. So he was also, you know, he definitely had stuff happen as well. What am I trying to say here? He was charged with two counts of aggravated robbery. And was sentenced to 5 years to life.
Okay.
Which is actually, it's a pretty decent sentencing, you know? I mean, he was just the getaway driver. He was definitely involved. but, you know, not
he was involved, but he didn't kill anyone. He didn't really even do anything. He just drove. I mean, he could be forced to do that.
Yeah, he was, he served. They could
have had something on him. I don't know.
Yeah. He served almost 13 years in prison, which isn't bad. Yeah. So he was paroled. You know,
five to life is like, that's, I think it's 15 years. I think it's
a good amount for him.
I think it's 15 years for a life sentence. That's a good amount for him.
Because, I mean, he definitely didn't deserve to die. Because, I mean, he definitely deserved some kind of, you know, thing.
I mean, he knew about the crime and didn't really.
He could have stopped it.
Yeah.
He could have tried to do something. Just like William, I mean, he didn't try. He had so many opportunities, and he didn't try to stop anything that happened, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Keith Roberts was paroled in 1987. He actually committed suicide on August 8th, 1992, at the age of 38.
Jeez.
He was only 19 at the time this happened.
Yeah.
Which, William was also 19.
A lot of times when you just get out of prison, either you want to go back or you just don't have anyone and everyone hates you, so
yeah,
it's kind of like, it's sad, but
yeah.
A lot of people end up.
Dale Selby Pierre, like I said, he changed his name so many freaking times, it's confusing, but anyway, he was executed by lethal injection on August 28th, 1987 at the age of 34. Like I said, he was 21 at the time.
Yeah.
A little before he was executed, he said, "I'll be glad when this is over." Local bars, I've never heard of this before in my life, but local bars held execution parties celebrating his death. There's also obviously people that are very against this execution, but, you know,
yeah.
I'd say more were happy about it.
Yeah.
So, when did I say he died? Oh, never mind. Wait, I'm confused. Wait, he died in 1987? Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong person.
Oh, no, I feel like these guys should have rotted in jail. Like, when you die, you kind of get off easy.
I mean, it did happen in 1974. He died in 87, so he was there for a while, but he deserved to sit there for longer and then die.
I think he should have died a natural death just in prison, you know, like, just died. Rotted in prison until he died.
There were people that didn't think William should have had the death sentence, considering he didn't actually kill anyone, which I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
He was executed by lethal injection as well on July 30th, 1992, at the age of 37. Once again, he was only 19 at the time.
Yeah, so he was in prison for a long time.
Yeah. So, Courtney Nesbitt, he went on to get married. He couldn't keep a job considering the injuries he had suffered.
Yeah.
He had suffered chronic pain his entire life. He died on June 4th, 2002, at the age of 44, which he was 16 at the time this happened.
Yeah.
He lived a while longer. It never actually said what he died of. It didn't say anything. Oh. It didn't really say what he died of, but I mean, I'm sure it probably had something to do with the injuries he suffered.
Maybe, but that's like 30 years later.
It could have played into it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, he was actually the last surviving person of this crime.
Mm-hmm.
He died last. So Orrin Walker, he died on February 13th, 2002 at the age of 69.
Jeez.
Yeah. So all of them, there's no surviving people that were involved in this today. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the criminals aren't alive. The victims aren't alive. It's kind of crazy. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have today.
Thank you guys for listening. If you listen to this whole thing, surprise, surprise, you win a prize. It's information.
It's us being idiots.
Yes, that is precisely. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening. Have an amazing, wonderful rest March 4th. Of your... yes.
Whatever day you're listening
or
to it.
Or any time after... Yeah.
Heck, it could be 2025.
You know? Yeah. All right.
Maybe you're listening 5 years from now. Bye. Bye.